It is the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. We've been blessed with yet another day to study the Lord's Word and to be able to come here to His house to conduct ourselves accordingly as we gather together later this morning to sing praises unto His name, to worship Him, to learn and teach, to partake of the supper of His Son. We are truly blessed. I'll tell you, if there's a day that He has not come yet, which is the day I look forward to most, this is a day which I'll take as a close second, I suppose. Be able to come together with people of like precious faith, fellow Christians, to be edified and encouraged. Couldn't think of a better place to be. You've chosen a good thing to be here this morning. We are getting into the lesson of If You Had Been. If you don't have a copy of the lesson that we're going to pursue for the next several weeks, please raise your hand, and I know Solomon has a box with a few more. Solomon, would you run one back to Rena? And, one more. I got two hands up. Might as well not make two separate trips. And the point, as we see in the foreword, is so that we can place ourselves in the shoes of some more well-known biblical characters that we see in the New Testament. The volume number 3 will pick up in the New Testament characters. And I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase, but walk a mile in their shoes. And so it's a good idea sometimes to look at things from the perspective of others and not just of ourselves, to understand why they would have made maybe the choices that they made at the time, good or bad, right? So with that being said, I'll ask Solomon if he'll focus us in a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right into our lesson. Amen. Excellent. If you had been, so if you open up to the table of contents, you might recognize a few of these names. The Virgin Mary, John the Baptist, Simeon, Jesus, Andrew, Nicodemus. There was the woman at the well, the story of the Good Samaritan, several folks we can talk about in there. Martha or Mary, the rich man of Luke. There are countless examples in the New Testament that we can take from those who made both good decisions and poor decisions with how they received the word, for instance, how maybe they treated others, how they may have welcomed in Christ or rejected Him. And so we'll go through several of those, and what I ask is for hopefully some good participation. I don't know if you've ever tried to speak for 40 minutes straight with a mask on your face, but it's not the funnest thing to do, so I'll ask for participation from the crowd, if possible, and any comments would be much appreciated. So if you had been, we started off with the Virgin Mary. Mary's portrayed to us in Scripture as the most tender, faithful, humble, patient, and loving woman. So what if you had been Mary? Do you ever think about some of the things that Mary had to face in her life? I mean, there you go, you're having a regular run-of-the-mill day a couple thousand years ago. You're just doing your day-to-day chores and the other things that you need to do because they didn't necessarily have the comforts and conveniences we have today. Can you imagine how long it would have taken to wash clothes? Some folks I've talked to, maybe even some here, are old enough to remember before we had washers and dryers and dishwashers and machines to do every bit of manual labor for us. And then along comes an angel and tells you something, breaking news. What if you had been Mary? So it asks us to read in the book of Luke, verses 26 through 35 in the first chapter. And I'll read through those, and then we'll talk a little bit about that. Luke 1, 26 through 35. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Looks like I went one extra verse there, but can you imagine, given that news, you want to talk about pressure. Not only will you conceive a son, you've never known a man, and now you will, if anybody's ever had a baby or a young child, you can guarantee that your life is about to get flipped upside down, and that's just with your average baby. The angel says he'll be the Son of the Most High. He's going to be holy. He will reign in the kingdom forever and ever. He will be the salvation of all men and women on earth, henceforth and forevermore. What pressure. That's the baby you're going to have.
That's the child you gotta raise.
Yeah, that's the child that you have to raise. Can you imagine? So our prophet Isaiah prophesied some 700 years before Christ, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, in letter C, it says some translations use the words "young woman." What's wrong with that? Rena?
Young woman is not necessarily a virgin.
That's exactly what I put. Does a young woman have to be a virgin? No, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, but it obscures the sense of what is going on in that passage. Because the word can mean young woman. And I think there was what happens a lot in the prophets is that there are multiple fulfillments of things. You know, there might be a fulfillment in Israel's time, but then it's also pointing forward to something pertaining to Christ. And in the case of this particular prophecy, it can mean young woman. But in English, again, that doesn't carry the full sense of the Hebrew word. It can mean young woman, it can mean virgin. Maybe the closest that we have in English is maiden. Right? Because it also denotes somebody of relatively low status. And part of what becomes clear in Luke, and this is where we're letting Scripture interpret Scripture for us.
Mm-hmm.
Luke is telling us, all right, here's the sense in which we should understand Isaiah's prophecy. That you've got this young, lower class, virgin woman, Mary. And the thing that is drawn out in particular is her virginity as an essential part of God using her to fulfill his plan.
So in verse 34, the text used to describe there, if you're looking at the meaning of the text, right, use like an interlinear. She asked the question, "How will this be, since a man I have never known, or a man I do not know?" Now, is she giving the context by which that word is to be meant? Right? So when we use a translation, or when some verses or some books use a translation that says, "just young woman," is it taking away from the text of what she is saying and what is meant to be said there? Yes. So that's why it's important that when you're looking at some translations, it's just you don't take a translation as, you know, that's the final end-all and be-all. That's why it's important to study, to look at things like the interlinear, to find out what is really supposed to be meant by that verse, because you can lose a lot of context along the way if you don't. Wayne?
What it does is an attempt to see at removing the element of miracle from the text that anybody, all of a sudden it becomes a miraculous gift.
Yeah.
And so that's what theater moves.
Is a young woman having a baby a miraculous event?
No.
It's not. It takes away from it, doesn't it? Now, we hope that as young women and young men embark upon that journey, that they're doing it in the right way and establishing the family first and doing it in the way it's, the manner in which it's prescribed. But with that, you lose a lot of the context. You take away from the miraculous nature of Jesus' birth, his conception. There are a lot of things, and there are a lot of implications that you can make from that by just changing a small translation or a small part of the translation. Elizabeth was not a young woman, was she? No, but she was barren. There's another miracle that happens there. There are a lot of things that we can look at in the scriptures where to a person who lacks faith, some of it may seem impossible. But to the one who has faith, we know that with God, what is possible? All things are possible with God, right? To us, it may seem impossible. A barren woman who was well aged, right? I was talking to somebody, I forget who it was. Oh, good friend Rita. She said, well, you know, well aged at that time could have meant 40 years old. I said, wow, then I am really well aged. That doesn't speak very well to my, what would you call me then? I'm over the hill, I guess, I suppose. But when we're looking, it's understanding the context of how it's describing it. Because if you make it to where, for instance, she's 30 or 35 or 40 and you call it well aged, it doesn't seem like such a miracle. But we know she was well-aged when she had given birth. So it's important that we look at those things and we don't just, you know, when we have translations that make mistakes, you call it out. Because it might cause confusion down the line with someone else. And Luke 1:28 says what about Mary? That she was what? Highly favored. So if you had been Mary, let's say if you're just you, you ought to have some experience with that. Is that how you would want God to reference you? If you were in the scriptures, right? There's a lot of folks that aren't described as being highly favored. In fact, very much the opposite. But imagine if the Lord was to write an epistle about you. Is highly favored the way that we might be written about? And we know why Mary was highly favored. In fact, Luke goes on to talk about some of the things, her character traits, the way she receives the information, the way she embraces the news. There are a lot of things that we can take from Mary. In fact, we're going to talk about some of those. It says that she was highly favored and the Lord was with her. Blessed is she among women. So had Mary not been a virgin, she would have forfeited what? Let's say she wasn't, because she was just betrothed. Does anybody know what that word means? I bet he does. Yeah. She's not married yet. What if she had already known a man and she wasn't married? Does God find that highly favorable? You better not say that today.
Yeah.
Oh man, that'd be people outside with signs talking about you're a misogynist or whatever they call it when you're a woman and you say it. I don't know. I'm sure there's a word for it, but that's not a very popular thing today. Today, they want to put the cart before the horse. Have the baby, share the checking account, buy the house, do the things, then get married. And then they wonder why things don't seem to be so much different after they've tied the knot. Well, you've already done all of the things that you were supposed to do after you got married, right? Well, I expected so much more. Well, because, you know, you had already eaten the cake before you had dinner. I got Raina and then we'll come
here. I wanted to say here, I don't believe in the answer, but it says that they actually have been a virgin, which is a little bit of a right to be a mother of
a. Yeah, she would not have been found highly favored, that's for sure. And I can can't speak for God, because God has done many wonderful things with people that necessarily weren't of the highest stature, right? His plan sometimes is to use those who might be in a sinful nature. In fact, I think Israel even asked that question at one point. It's like, you know, why are you using these heathens to come and destroy our city? Well, he said, well, don't worry, they're going to get what's coming to them too. You know, that's the Lord's answer. I'll do as I please, by the way. Just how he answered Job. Are you the one that causes thunder? Are you the one that has replenished and made the earth? I suppose he can do anything he wants. But, yeah, she would have forfeited her right to be found highly favored.
So, hey, one piece of evidence that he is a gatekeeper is to look at Mary's objection in verse 34, whenever Gabriel tells her that she's going to bear a son. How will this be since I'm a virgin? Okay. And it seems, based on Gabriel's response to her, that she's not engaging in the same kind of doubt that Zechariah
Yes.
Because in Zechariah's case, back in verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And you look at just how offended Gabriel is in the verses after that. And he lays down this curse on Zechariah that he's not going to be able to speak until after John the Baptist.
Yeah, he's stricken dumb.
And you don't find that same kind of reaction with Mary. So that, I think what that implies to us is that Mary's not asking this from a place of doubt. She is rather asserting her purity. That she's been doing what she's supposed to do. And so it just doesn't compute for her. Like, how does this work? I've been doing what I'm supposed to do. And so it is a pretty big deal.
Do we have a record of anything like this happening before this moment? There might be some things where maybe an angel could have come and could have said things, and maybe there was a history in Israel of these things happening several times, for instance. The Lord will deliver you out of the hands of your oppressors, for instance. While that might seem like, unfortunately in Israel's case, it seems like kind of a run-of-the-mill thing, right? It had happened dozens of times prior to that. The Lord will deliver unto thee a judge, or will deliver unto thee a saint. Now, he comes to Mary and says something completely different. And we can see, by the way, that she asked it, the context in which she asked, you can tell how her heart, the condition of her heart is. There will be times where we'll see, for instance, in Jesus' life, when people ask him questions, and he perceives the nature of their heart. And from there, he understands the purpose of the question. Because sometimes when people question, they're really just honestly asking a question. They're not trying to besmirch the scriptures, to doubt God, to have a negative impact on things. They really just want to know. And that seems to be the case with Mary, right? Because Gabriel didn't strike her dumb or take away her sight or any of these other things. So that's a good point, something well worth looking into. So would your faith have been as great as Mary's? Who says yes? Raise your hand if you think so. Just kidding, don't raise your hand, we all know. Right? Maybe it would be. Huh? I can tell you that I do believe with God all things, truly all things are possible. I have no doubt in my mind, none whatsoever. Now, whether he would put me to task or he would give me something to do and I can say to myself, I surely could have accomplished that, maybe not. Right? I wish my strength and my faith was as great as some of those who have come before me. But I'm also wise enough to know that there are times, and really, if we're all honest, there are times when all of us have had at least a smidgen of doubt at some point, or we have a little bit of a question. And that doesn't make you a bad person, as Caleb just talked about. It's, where is the source of the doubt? Is it really out of, I just really want to know? Would some of us have wanted to be like Thomas? Just listen, I want to believe, I really do, but can you just show me? It's now I know for sure it's you, I believe you. Right? Sometimes that's the faith that we have. But what about Mary's? Do we have any indication that she doubted, truly doubted the power of God for a moment? She just wanted to know how. How will this be? So Mary's faith had to be great. She believed in the message that the angel reported to her. What did Elizabeth say of Mary in Luke 1:45? It's going to be a long class if you don't speak up, I tell you. Yeah. Blessed is she who what? She believed. Not just anything. There's lots of people who believe. Maybe you believe in evolution. That's not the kind of belief we're talking about here, is it? Right? Blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what she was told by the Lord. She never doubted. You've heard stories of people who were once strong Christians, and as tribulation came, or as the test presented themselves, some had crumbled and fallen away. Some lost their faith. Right? And we know that that happens, because Jesus uses the parable of the sower to talk about that. There are some who will spring up, and because they have no root, they'll burn up in the sun and they'll fall away. There are some who will spring up, and the thorns of the world will come and they'll choke them. There is a difference between once being strong in faith and falling away and living faithfully for the entirety of your life. And what I mean by that is there will only be one that will be found faithful in the end. You will not stand before the Lord in judgment and say, "Lord, at one time did you know my heart and how much I believed? I know I fell away. I know I did things contrary to your word. I know I went back into worldly pleasures and carnal things. But please, Lord, don't you remember at one time how much I loved you?" Or will you rather be found faithful because, "Lord, I believed all the way till the end. The tribulations came, the fires came, I was tested, and I was found faithful." Now, who do you think is going to be found highly favored in the Lord's eyes? The one who believes in the fulfillment of the promise, right? Do you see the parallel that I'm making here now? There is a promise that is made to Mary that she believes in the fulfillment of that is no greater in its promise than the promise that is made to you in the fulfillment of, right? If they both are going to require faith that one day, right? Can you see Jesus in front of you? Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but not yet. Who can finish that? Seen. We believe in the fulfillment and is required of us to believe wholly until the end. So if you had been in Mary's shoes, would you have believed all the way till the end? 1, 2.
It says, when you look at Mary's song of praise after she talked to Elizabeth, you read through the things that she believes, what she has faith in. I think we can say that we and Mary have faith in the same thing, right? Fulfillment of the same promise. We're looking at different facets of it. Mm-hmm. She's got a particular place in the fulfillment of these promises. But it's all the same promise that we're looking for in fulfillment of. Yeah. So, in a sense, we better have Mary's faith.
I sure hope we do. Is it all right to pray for your faith? Pray you'll be faithful. Pray you'll be courageous. Pray you'll be strong. I hope you do. We're going to talk about that maybe, probably not today, but we're going to get around to that. We'll see how we do. And yes, ma'am.
At this time, they had been faithful and they knew that their
So there's two sides to that coin, right? Imagine how great a news you hear that you're going to have a baby. Most people who, when they hear that news and they first find out, they're jumping for joy, right? Jackpot. Let me tell you about the jackpot of Mary for just a moment. Because she was faithful and she knew, she would have known about the book of Isaiah, correct? Now, would she have known what is then going to happen to her son? Imagine now you know. He'll be led like a sheep to the slaughter. Now you know what is going to happen to your son. Not much of a jackpot. Imagine if you knew that about your baby. You got the news. I'm having a baby. And you also know that this baby one day will suffer for the sins of mankind and will suffer the things that Jesus suffered, which was like no other who suffered before him or after. What news? Right? You want to talk about bittersweet. Likewise, you are now betrothed to a man and you're supposed to be a virgin, and here you are now pregnant. Back in that time, that was not well looked upon, okay? In today's time, you're just like nothing, but in that time, you would have been a social pariah. You might as well have been a leper or worse. Yeah, now are you hearing the load? You hearing her load? One and then two. Maybe.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, it's possible that she knew, because obviously I would like to do that, but those are the ones that are going to do the job. The first one is that it was a job, that the Lord's job, separate from the job. So it's possible that, you know, the Jews during this time,
it's a hard weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say to that, by the way, the idea behind, well, most people at that time thought he was going to be a triumphant king. And we know how the Lord felt about most people who thought that. The Lord knew, and God knew, that they were in error to think such things. So I would ask that, then, would she have been found highly favorable if she had a misunderstanding of the law? Maybe. Maybe not. But I know the people who had the misunderstanding of the law and who taught such things were not highly favored. That much I do know.
I was going to bounce off something that Saul pointed out, that at the point where Mary said, well, and this is playing off of something you said earlier too, at the point that Mary says yes here in Luke 1, yeah, she is betrothed. Not married to Joseph. And we know from Matthew's account what thought process Joseph goes through in all of this. Thinking to put Mary away. Now he's going to do it. You know, he's planning on doing it quietly so it's not to embarrass her or even to marry himself. But he's planning on putting her away. And I don't know. This one has to wonder if these kinds of things might have gone through Mary's mind as the angel telling her this. I mean, perhaps even if she's asking that question, how will this be the son of her? I mean, she knows what culture she's in, what people are going to think. And I think it all adds to her faithfulness and her courage in so readily saying yes.
Yeah. There's
she might be left out, you know, to dry from a worldly perspective.
Yeah.
Joseph might let her go. She might be stuck by herself, as far as she knows.
And when you're put away in that time, I mean, you can't do business with the local commerce, with the markets. You can't go into the synagogues. You can't really do much of anything, right? When you're put away like that, your whole life is over, right? So she faced what one could easily presume is, we might think of as insurmountable, right? We think, man, it's really about to go south, isn't it? Well, the good news about the way that God deals with his people is, yes, we have the will to accept his will or not. Right? That goes, and then he asked the question, so I had some of it's a good philosophical discussion, I guess, to get into, even though you really shouldn't get into it, because I hate talking about, you know, hypotheticals. But could Judas have also said no? Somebody had to betray the Christ. Somebody had to do it. And it was, I mean, there was prophecy and all sorts of other things that led up to it. Could Judas have said no? You bet he could. Because he was held accountable for what he did. And we know that the Lord will not hold you accountable for a situation in which you had no choice. He wouldn't force you to do something wrong and then hold you accountable for doing it. That would not be the idea behind justice. And so surely she could have said no. But God knows the nature of those things. That's why he knows. There's something that the Lord knows that we will never know about men. Talks about it in the scriptures. For when I look at Saul, I see what first? The things that are on the inside or the outside? The outside. But there's something about men that men will never know, but only God will know. And that is what? The condition of their microphone. I'm just kidding. Their heart. Right? God knows. He knows what kind of woman Mary is. Right? He can search the reins of our heart, and he can know those things. It's kind of like, you know, when little Jenny comes out here to me, I can almost tell you exactly everything that she's going to do. I know what she'll say in what certain circumstances, probably to almost 100% accuracy. And I have nowhere, even remotely, the wisdom that God has. But he knows us so well. So would you have been submissive to God's will in less than 1 minute? We'll maybe get through the first one. What was Mary's attitude toward the word of the Lord? Did she approach it with some doubt, but then eventually change her mind? How did she believe? Did she ask the angel for a miracle? No? She readily believed. In the absence of a miracle, she still had faith. What type of faith are you to have? Same kind she did, right? In the absence of a miracle, staring you dead in the face, what kind of, we're supposed to have faith anyway. So there's something to be gained from looking at Mary's faith. And there will be a time where you might, in prayer, say something like, Lord, just please. And maybe, just maybe, if you look out and you see nature and how well it is put together, and you see the miracle of creation, and you see the miracle of God's family and the ability to do the things that we do, maybe, just maybe, he's already given us enough signs. What do you think? They're all around you if you're willing to look. They may not be as miraculous as some things you read about in the scriptures, but when I look at this world and how delicately balanced it is and the things that we have to enjoy, that's pretty miraculous. So let's enjoy those things and recognize where they come from. Thanks for your good time and your good study. We'll call it to a close, and we'll pick back up there, Lord willing, Thursday evening.